Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for hour number two, and we're going to do something a little different tonight. Rather than Jeff and Eric in hour three, we're coming on an hour early to do our update on the kill shots and a lot of developments therein. We've got some videos to play as well. Next hour, and we're very glad to know that Dr. Carrie Madej survived the plane crash, and she was on her regular venue, the Five Docks. I guess it was last night. Was it last night, Erica?
Yes, Thursday night, yes.
Okay, what we're going to do, she gave a long explanation as to what happened to the plane and the experience she went through. She is apparently home now and healing. But it was a very interesting explanation. And we're going to play that for you. We thought that we'd make available her words to her fans, wherever they may be. Certainly she has some out there with all of you. And we're going to play that next hour. And to try to figure out what really happened there in layman's terms, terms that we can all understand, Pilot Mike is coming back on the program next hour, and he is a 20-year-plus professional jet pilot, small jets, you know, 10, 15 passenger jets, all over the world, all over the place, and he knows the small private plane industry extremely well. So he's going to listen in as well, and we're going to try and figure this out. We did listen. A lot of people listened last night. And there were just about as many questions as there were answers. It's a very strange thing. So we thought we would, first of all, give Dr. Madej a little airtime here so she could say thank you to everyone and explain what happened. But then other than that, we want to try to understand better than what we were actually given. I'm very curious about this. I've done a lot of research on it. And when you hear some of the things I ran into, I think you'll be your interest will be piqued, let's put it that way. And we'll do that next hour. But first up, have you been having any computer trouble, young lady?
Not that I'm aware of, no. You?
Yes.
Huh.
Yes. Well, one of us had to, and it was me. Things are glitching. I spent hours on the news. Tonight's news batch,
mm-hmm.
It's gone. It vanished.
Oh, no.
So I'm going to have to reconstruct it after the program and put it up. So if you see news not changing when you're used to it, just give me a little time. But it's 4 hours of work just gone. And
wow.
I don't know what's going on. Who's playing games? I don't know. Maybe there's a virus. Maybe there are 10 viruses in my system, but it's gone. And
that's
nowhere to be found. Yeah, well, it happens. It happens. But I just wondered if maybe that solar flare might have messed up your computers, if people listening have had computer problems. That was 2-3 days ago, but there can be lasting issues from those kinds of energetic expulsions from old Saul up there.
Sure could.
Now, to start things off, I guess we should kind of just take it from where would you like to start? Where are we? We've got a lot going on as usual, and it's just getting to be more out of hand. We could start with the Pfizer story, I guess, first. What they have come up with, and by way of running their own show, it's same old story. They get to do whatever they want. They don't have to jump through any hoops. And now they are going to, regarding their booster shots, tell our listeners what the general understanding is of what they're going to do to make your boosters more fun than they normally would be.
Okay, so when they change the definition of a vaccine, you no longer have to show that it's clinically effective, I guess, and clinically safe. All you have to do is show that it provokes the body into an immune response. Now,
That's it.
That's it. Whether that's an increase in antibodies to a specific protein associated with the virus or some other measure, but you don't have to prove convincingly that it's necessarily protective in any way. And we're seeing that now with these experimental injections that were supposed to curtail this pandemic. They don't prevent infection, and they don't prevent transmission. All they do is reduce symptoms, which in some regards is even more dangerous because people are sick and they don't know it.
Right. They are sick and they don't know it. And again, that's why there is less traffic on the roads now. And we're getting more confirmation of that. I talk to people. Yeah, there are fewer people out there. And the reason is simple. They're sick. They don't feel good. They don't want to go out. Some can't go out. They're that sick. Here's that double dose of Pfizer story for you. I don't know who this guy is.
Yes, he's an author, researcher. His name is James Roguski. He has published many books on the fraud in the medical system. He did have a very notable book. What was it? Your doctor is a liar, or something like that, going back to 2005. So this guy's been investigating the fraud within the medical establishment for a number of years. And
he's not the AMA Man of the Year. Okay.
No. And they did. I guess he had a pretty extensive website, which they've deleted. Mm-hmm. But if you use the Wayback Machine, you can find it.
All right. Here's that author now. It's just a minute long. Let's see what he has to say about this from his perspective.
The FDA changed the definition of the vaccine. They changed the rules of engagement with the companies. Please realize that the studies that they will be presenting tomorrow did absolutely nothing to follow any sort of disease lessening. They didn't test cases, they didn't test for severe disease, they did not test for hospitalization, and they did not test to see if it prevented death. The FDA has changed the rules because they changed the definition. The only thing that was tested was whether or not an immune response could be measured, not clinical outcomes. When that sinks in, you'll have your understanding. What they have done, and this will blow Naomi's mind, what Pfizer has done is actually seek to double their dose. Rather than Moderna, you know, admitting that they're causing problems, Pfizer did experiments with 60 micrograms.
Rather than 30. So you're going to get a bonus. And God only knows what they're doing to the so-called regular vaccinations. And what they're giving to these little children now is inhuman by any measure. Should never even be dreamed about in the worst nightmare. You don't do that to infants, 6 months old, 5 years old, 4 years old. You don't do that to children. Look how many of our teenagers we've lost. And there may not be a lot of dead ones yet, but a lot of them have myocarditis, and it's a 50% mortality within 5 years after you're hit with that. Because your heart does not repair itself.
Right.
It's going to
be full of scar tissue.
Well, I really...
And I still wonder with this, you know, recent clinical trial for the infants, 6 months to 4 years, that was just walked through the approval or authorization process. They recruited, 4,500 and something infants?
Yes. Yeah,
3,000 of them didn't complete the study. What happened to them?
We don't know.
Did they die?
We don't know.
This is not going to end well.
No.
So now the Pfizer anyway, they just arbitrarily decided that they're going to increase the active ingredient in their injections based on what?
And this means obviously an increase in the number, ultimately, of spike proteins that potentially will be produced. And we projected, you projected, 30 trillion during the lifetime of any vaccinee. And maybe now it'll be 60. Maybe it'll be 600 trillion if the person lives long enough. We don't know. We're connecting dots
so many,
that we're... Go.
So many safety signals now that these things should be withdrawn, not increased and expanded. And
no one is talking. No one is saying anything much except the alt community. And some of that is obviously compromised or created opposition. I virtually don't trust anyone anymore. I hate to say that. It's a blanket statement. But I just don't know. I don't know what I'm hearing from people. Is it real? Is it Memorex? There's an old commercial for you. Are they telling the truth? Are they making it up? Are they just creating what sounds appropriate so they'll have more listeners, viewers, watchers, whatever? I don't know. I just urge all of you to be very careful. We will never misguide anyone here. Never have, never will. And this program is now in its 29th year. So we're doing something right. And we're going to keep doing it. So we just want you to have the best possible chance at making the best decisions for you and your family. For God's sakes, how many families have been shattered with this vaxxed and unvaxxed paradigm in a family? How do families even sit down and talk to each other when you're talking about vaxxed and unvaxxed? How do they sit physiologically, physically, health-wise? How do they sit at the same table when the unvaxxed, in many cases, have AIDS, and the vaxxed don't, and the vaxxed are weakened, and the unvaxxed are carrying potential pathogens that can make their unvaxxed friends not sick at all, but their vaxxed friends and family, they could give them grievous illnesses. I don't know. It's been a tragedy beyond measure, all planned, all done by design. And I must say, so far, rather brilliantly carried off and executed, no pun intended.
Yeah, and now we have multiple narratives playing out. We've got the old COVID thing, and now we've got the monkeypox thing. It's clear they're running with it. What was the headline? They just ordered another... Oh, I've got it right here. 750,000 doses? For delivery this summer?
Yeah, I think
2.5 million total, and it's going to be expanded to kids, not just high-risk groups like homosexual males, but they're going to expand it to kids.
What age did they mention?
Let's see. They did not mention.
Well, the Biden administration just bought... What did I tell you it was? 105 million more doses of so-called COVID vaccinations.
Yeah, for
COVID
this fall.
Vaccine. Yes. And they're already talking about, there's a big wave coming this fall. Maybe it'll be a variant. Maybe it'll be the old style. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, we have both, I believe. Pfizer and Moderna coming out with a new version of the vaccine that will supposedly be specific for the Omicron variant. Now that the Omicron variant is run its course and is on its way out.
There'll be another player come along. It is 105 million doses of COVID-19 vaccine from Pfizer. From Pfizer. Now, they're not saying if those doses are shot number one, shot number two, and or a booster. They're not mentioning that. So we don't know. Maybe they're buying 105 million boosters that are now going to be double strength. Why? Because Pfizer wants it.
Who knows? The people that have taken the opportunity, that have the ability, the instrumentation to analyze these vials, the last couple of batches, they were not finding any mRNA or protein in the vials at all. Is
well,
that an accident? Is
there.
It shoddy manufacturing, or is that intentional?
All of you people living in the U.S. just got the great good fortune, according to the Biden-Harris administration, as you bought yourself another 105 million doses of this death in a needle. No more shots.
Good
no.
grief.
No more shots. And the monkeypox thing, they're going to play that. They're playing the monkey card, no doubt. Monkey business.
Well, if they're ordering vaccines, what they're intending to use them. If they're ordering oral therapeutics or prophylactics, they're intending to use them.
I'm just, yeah, it's really sickening to watch this whole thing unfold, knowing where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I could sit back and feel confident that the American people and people all over the world would just begin to say, no, we've got 20 million dead in our country, no more. I just don't see it. The control is inculcated into these young people from their earliest days. As soon as mom and dad or mom or dad allows them to begin to stare at the screen, they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
They're gone. That is the authority figure, ultimately. Well, I saw it on TV, Dad. Come on, Mom. It was on TV. What's wrong with it? And Mom and Dad, if they allow their children to watch TV, are dealing with something now where their children are being taken away from them, right in front of their noses.
Yeah.
Okay, let me put this up here, if I can get this. Don, I want to do this story. This comes from RT. COVID-19. Now, this is The Lancet is a professional medical journal out of the UK. And Jeffrey Sachs, who chairs, he's the chairman of the COVID-19 Commission at the Lancet, that very prestigious journal, has claimed the deadly virus did not come from nature. Well, thanks a lot, Mr. Sachs. You figured it out. He said COVID-19 may have originated in a U.S. biolab.
Really?
Like maybe Chapel Hill? North Carolina?
Did he name a lab, or he's just being ambiguous?
I'm looking. Let's see. Might be good if this would scroll properly. Hold on. I'm having computer trouble. All right. He says COVID-19 did not come from nature, but rather was an accidental release out of U.S. lab biotechnology. That's a quote. Out of U.S. laboratory biotechnology. So said world-renowned economist and author Jeffrey Sachs. He was speaking at a conference hosted by the think tank Gate Center, G-A-T-E, don't know what the acronym means, in Spain in the middle of this month, which is just about over. While introducing this provocative statement, Sachs suggested that he was in the loop as he chairs the COVID-19 Commission at the prestigious medical journal, The Lancet. So, it's a blunder, in my view, of biotech, not an accident of a natural spillover. So he's calling it now a blunder. I'm still looking. Back in May, Sachs, along with Columbia University prof of molecular pharmacology and therapeutics, Neil Harrison, penned an article. And they had called for greater transparency on the part of U.S. federal agencies and universities. Ha, is he a comedian? Calling for, how many times have we heard that? More transparency. We need more transparency. Good luck. The highly contagious virus was first identified, so this story in RT says, in Wuhan, China, in late 2019. We think it was around before that at the military games, which were in August, I think, something like that.
Was it August? I think it was, or October. Might have been October.
At any rate, there you go. So there's another one. Here, they're keeping us confused. They're stirring the pot of chaos. This is how they exert and dominate. It's simple. They push themselves on the world. They exert pressure and domination like nothing I've ever seen before. It's really quite amazing. So I don't know what the Lancet publication means. Are they just throwing out a little piece of chum to keep people thinking that, wow, maybe this is going to be straightened out after all, the Lancet? I don't think so.
Well, I mean, they didn't want to admit that it was a lab construct in the beginning. They tried to sell us on the bat soup theory. And then there's still people that believe this was an accident.
Right. I know.
Despite having, you know, there's patents on the thing. There are inserts that have patents on them in the spike, in the actual virus as well.
There's a trail leading up to this that is undeniably rotten.
Yeah.
Patents not being the least of them. Patents. This is, we're talking about 2, 3, 4 years. Go back to Anthony Patch. What did he say? It's like they knew. It's like people knew, and they were trying to let the word out that you better get ready.
Forecasted at least 10 years ago. People that were watching saw this coming. Now here it is. And
okay.
We have this little clip from Mike Eden.
Yeah, got it.
Talking about, he's utterly convinced that this entire thing was planned.
All right, this is Dr. Mike Eden, former director of Pfizer Science. Forgot the formal title, but he was the top guy at Pfizer.
He was a vice president, yes, in vaccine development.
Development, yeah. Okay, I think he was actually the director of science for them or something, too. He was fairly
high up.
All right, let's see if we can get this to play here. Okay, here's Dr. Mike Eden, who is turning out to be quite heroic.
And so what you should do is pick the bit of the virus that's genetically most stable. Now, I don't know that we knew it at the beginning, but it's certainly true now that the thing that undergoes variation most quickly is the spike protein. That's a shame. So now you've picked something that's going to rapidly go out of focus. It'll rapidly evolve to a different variant, and your vaccine won't work anymore.
What he's talking about is when they were creating their vaccine, they picked the spike protein, and he's not real pleased with that. I'm going to play that first little bit again, just so you understand. This is just a piece of a longer conversation. But he's talking about how they picked the spike protein when they could have picked countless others.
And so what you should do is pick the bit of the virus that's genetically most stable. Now, I don't know that we knew it at the beginning, but it's certainly true now that the thing that undergoes variation most quickly is the spike protein. That's a shame. So now you've picked something that's going to rapidly go out of focus. It'll rapidly evolve to a different variant, and your vaccine won't work anymore. But here's something else they definitely did know. You would pick a part of the virus that is, this is important, most different from humans. So viruses and humans and fungi and bacteria, they're all living organisms. They have some relationships because we all probably originated from the same, instantiation of life, however that happens. And then there's been evolution ever since. And so there's similarities and differences. What you do is you can run searches and you can find a bit of the virus that's most virusy and most dissimilar from anything else that's in your body. And if you do that, you don't pick spike protein. Spike protein is slightly similar to lots of bits of human. Not very, slightly similar to lots of bits of human. Guess what happens if you do that? You make an immune response to bits of protein that look a bit like you. And sometimes you end up with a spillover. That's called an autoimmune response. So just to say again, you deselect things that are toxic in their own right. You pick things that are genetically stable. And you pick things that are most different from humans. All three of those, in the words of patents, they teach away. They would teach you away from picking spike protein. But guess what? Moderna picks spike protein. Oh, and so does Pfizer and AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson. Yeah. So I put it to you, colleagues, any scientists out there or just logical people, how the hell would they pick? No team I was ever part of would ever have picked bloody spike protein for this virus, this vaccine. And you know what? If we did and we had competing groups, we would not all four of us make mistake. The same mistake is not possible. Good drug discoverers.
But it's not a mistake. Mike, can you agree that's mistake. Not a mistake then?
So I believe it's collusion and malfeasance. They did it on purpose, knowing it would hurt you.
I believe it was deliberate malfeasance, collusion, knowing that it would hurt you. Here it is again.
Competing groups, we would not all four of us make mistake. The same mistake is not possible. Good drug discoverers.
But it's not a mistake. Mike, can you agree that's
mistake.
Not a mistake then?
So I believe it's collusion and malfeasance. They did it on purpose, knowing it would hurt you.
There it is.
Yep.
Took 2.5 years. And I'm not knocking anybody, but there are some people who knew damn well exactly what was going on many years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. They knew what was coming. And as he pointed out, you got AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, Pfizer, all just happened to pick the spike. Remember what Dr. Chetty told us? He was first. He was right. And he hit it 100% on the head. Most dangerous thing mankind has ever created.
And it is.
And now we just bought another 105 million doses for the fall vaccine campaign, Erica.
Who are they going to give these to? I mean, there's so many crippled.
I think they're boosters. I think they're boosters. And a lot of people, when they get sick, you've seen this. We've talked about it. We've presented it over and over again. A lot of people will actually, because we read things that they post on social media. A lot of people say, if I had only gotten that booster. That's what they think.
I think there's fewer and fewer. I mean, there's still people out there. As I said, I know a handful of people now who have had four shots, and they're all four of these people are, at least outwardly, as far as I can tell, fine. And if they were told to go get a fifth one, they're going to do it. Mark my words, that they won't even question it.
Well, they're going to get a double dose, so they're kind of like getting it's a twofer sale, right?
Yeah,
even though
right.
there's no charge, it's free. They're going to get twofer.
Yeah.
So they've got 80% or thereabout shot up. We don't know about the remaining 20%, how much damage has been done to that group. Through transmission, we don't know. Shedding, we don't know. We do know that there have been an awful lot of reports of people who have gone, just as simple as gone up and give somebody in their family a hug who's gotten vaxxed and they hadn't.
Yeah.
It just, you just can't tell. There's no way to judge this. It's a crapshoot. Common sense dictates, I don't mind saying it, wearing a mask when you're around mixed groups of vaxxed and unvaxxed people. You need to give yourself every advantage you can, even if it's only 10%. I'll take it. And stay the hell away from people. Remember what... Maybe I'll play Dr. Aleem again, just the first 6 minutes. He nailed it, too.
Yeah, he did.
Okay,
I mean, we read that that account the other night of this young girl that was working with elderly in a care home and had to quit because the symptoms became so bad, and she's just now, 15 months later, starting to recover her health, and that was just from shedding.
15 months. But at least she's actually getting a little better. Wow. If she had been shot up and gotten sick, I'll ask again, just rhetorically, how many people have gotten better after being severely injured or even modestly injured? I can't think of anybody. If there is a percentage out there, it's probably one.
I think the best you could hope for is that you improve enough to be functional again, but I don't know that you ever go back to baseline.
I don't see it.
The myocarditis, don't. Pericarditis people are, I mean, some of these people are well over a year. Their symptoms are not resolving. Same with the hearing loss, tinnitus. And in many cases, that is morphing into more severe neurological issues involving vision.
The spike loves nerve tissue.
Yeah, it's neurotropic. It can affect a nerve, yes.
And it reminds me a little bit of the herpes family. Mm-hmm. That loves nerves, too. They can hang out in there, and the immune system doesn't usually apparently bother your nerves. I remember when I had the accident, and I was in the hospital, and the one thing the doctor said was, you do not ever want blood in your spinal column. I said, I didn't know. I said, why? He said, because the blood is your immune system. It will destroy the nerves that emanate from your spinal column.
Mm.
It'll kill you.
Mm.
That's your blood, okay? It recognizes nerves as the enemy. So in this case, the spike protein is the enemy, and it goes and hides out in the nerve tissue. So your body is trained to keep the blood away from the nerves. Go ahead.
Well, there's probably more than one pathway here when you get this injection. I mean, if these lipid nanoparticles manage to deliver their payload into a nerve cell, you've got a problem. And then just a free-floating spike protein can attach to a nerve cell and stick to it and then provoke the immune system that way. Not to mention the potential for misfolding the prion protein, which is found on nerve cells.
And don't forget amyloidosis, amyloid plaques, amyloid clots.
Yeah.
They don't care what protein they use. They don't need a prion protein. Any protein, most any protein, will misfold and join right in.
Yeah, so, I mean, there is an amyloid protein that tends to be elevated in conditions of inflammation or infection, which you could certainly call these injections a form of an infection. I mean, you're introducing foreign material into your body, and your body doesn't like that. So as a defense, it may be elevating normal levels of the amyloid protein to deal with this. But I watching this amyloidosis support group, this was generally an older person's disease. It would not be uncommon for people in their late 60s, 70s, to have a little bit of amyloidosis going on just as a function of advancing age. But the people that I'm seeing coming into the group now are young. Now, there is a hereditary form of it, but, you know, it's fairly rare. It's considered a rare disease.
Oh, it was, yeah. Here's 6 minutes with Dr. Aleem, just so you all, in case you missed it last time, this is important.
Can you share, if anything, what effects the vaccine shedding may have on those of us who are in close proximity to the vaccinated, although we are non-vaccinated.
Straightaway question. What kind of danger are the unvaxxed in when they're around the vaxxed?
Make you sick.
And he said, in case you missed it, let me back it up.
Non-vaccinated.
Gonna make you sick. The coronavirus, so-called COVID-19 virus, for the most part, is pretty harmless. I mean, we can get into a lot of details about it, but what we found out over the last year or so is that there's a 99% recovery rate from the viral infection. Now, the people who have severe illness from the viral infection, what causes those symptoms is the S protein, the spike protein that's on the outside of the virus. And it's that spike protein that adheres to the ACE2 receptors. So what I'm saying is that even the people who got sick from the COVID-19 virus itself, the part of the virus that made them sick was the S protein. So now, the people who got vaccinated, every cell in their body is now manufacturing the S protein. See, in the beginning, I had it wrong. I thought it was necessary for them to manufacture the whole virus in their body. I didn't understand that all of the pathophysiology was caused by the spike protein. So all of the vaccinated people are manufacturing billions, trillions of copies of this S protein. And it is in their breath when they breathe out, so other people can inhale it. It comes through the skin, so if you touch them, then you can be infected, not with the virus, but with the protein.
Understand, people have been so misdirected. They so worry about COVID-19, the virus. That is the least of their worries, the very absolute least. It's all been misdirection. You do not want to be around people who are vaccinated. And those of you who are vaccinated are in most cases suffering severely depressed immunological function and competence, and you don't want to be around the unvaxxed because they're carrying a normal complement of pathogenic material. And you don't want that because your immune system is not working like it used to. You see the point. And you see now why Dr. Mike Yeadon is so mad.
Yeah.
And how was it that AZ, J&J, Moderna, and Pfizer just happened to pick the spike protein? Because this is a weapon of depopulation. It's so painfully obvious.
Certainly body fluids contain the spike protein. I was looking at a report yesterday. I believe the number was 905 babies who were being breastfed by vaccinated mothers have died. And the cause of death is overwhelming inflammation, because that's what the S protein does. It causes inflammation throughout the body. It adheres to the ACE2 receptors. The ACE2 receptors are found on the inside lining of blood vessels, arteries and veins, and certainly inside the lining of the heart. There is no part of the body that does not have blood vessels. So there is no part of the body that does not have ACE2 receptors. So wherever there are ACE2 receptors that interact with an S protein, there you will have severe inflammation. That inflammation can do many things. So 86% of young people who are vaccinated, they begin to have inflammation in the brain, and of course they experience what's called migraine headaches and other symptoms related to brain function, and also behavior changes. If the inflammation is in the heart, that's called myocarditis. And many young people are suffering from myocarditis. What they don't know, because they haven't been told yet, the end point for myocarditis is a heart transplant. Their heart muscle is being destroyed. So wherever the inflammation is in the liver, how about the spleen, which manufactures blood? And so one of the long-term, not so long really, but one of the not immediate effects of the vaccination process is the destruction of the ability to make blood. And then the blood that is in the body is affected by the fact that the spike protein itself is magnetic. Not only is it an infectious protein, and you can look this up, infectious proteins are called prions, P-R-I-O-N. So the S protein is a prion, an infectious proton, protein. But not only is it infectious, it's magnetic. And so people who have been vaccinated, they become magnetic. So it's like the X-Men. There was a character called Magneto, and he could attract things through magnetism. And of course, we've already talked about Yaku playing with steel and putting magnetic in one piece of steel and not in another piece of steel. And so that's what's taking place with the vaccine and more. In Europe, for example, there have been listed officially over 10,000 deaths directly attributed to the vaccine and hundreds of thousands of injuries in Europe and similar figures here in the United States. So,
okay, that video is up on the right side in the archive. You just look for Dr. Alim. It's not very far down, A-L-I-M. There's more. That was only half of the video. But he just lays it right out like we have. This is not a joke. It is so diabolically evil. It's very difficult for most people to understand that something this evil could be concocted and created and deployed by human beings against other human beings. And that begs the question, are the deployers actually human at all? I don't know. Not by my definition. So they're out to degrade the populace of this planet by probably 80%. And they want to try to pick up the vaccine deniers, those who are choosing life, with transmission. That's the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they do it. Every body fluid. You can't shake hands with anybody anymore. Forget it.
Yeah, the transfer through touch does seem to be a major route.
Gosh. I understand how hard it is for people who have been brought up on the screen mentality to dispute what some news reader is telling them or some government official is telling them. Remember Biden? Get your vaccine.
Yeah.
Get your vaccine. Come on. Get your vaccine. And Trump, totally pro-vaccine. Come on. They're working for the same man.
And now Walensky pushing it on little babies?
I finally had to take that down on the homepage. It was making me sick.
Mm.
It's like a Disney witch. Worse than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is going on right now, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Is it going on the same everywhere around the planet? We don't know the answer to that. We do know that Western Europe, the UK, the US, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, those are the first targets, first-tier target. Western white Christian civilization was marked by those who are behind all of this as being the first tier target. And they are well on their way. Remember the Deagle.com projections. Everything is on the table now that points to a realization of those projections as being correct. We're all going to see it. We have less than 2.5 years until January 1st, 2025, when the Deagle projections at first said 65 million Americans left, then they upped it to 99, Deagle did, not Dr. Bill Deagle, it's a different Deagle. So we have really, we've never seen anything like this before on this planet that we know of. And that's another reason it's so hard for people to entertain the idea that they made a bad choice. They just can't believe that their government, it's not a government. They just can't believe that anybody would create something this bad. And now you're beginning to see vaccine remorse. Tell us a little bit more about that. What are you coming across?
Well, yeah, these people that are now crippled, many of them for more than a year now, and they're realizing that they're not getting better. There isn't much in the way of treatments to help them get better. There's a lot of regret.
Are they blaming anyone? Who are they blaming? What are they saying?
I think when they hear the vaccine being advertised in the news, on television, they know, I mean, they learned the hard way that you can't trust the media, that they're liars.
How about accessories to mass murder?
They are. I mean, these are not journalists by any stretch of the imagination. They're propagandists.
And for those of you out there who have tried to help those you care about understand what you understand, and just in this 1 hour, we've covered a lot, and all of you know people who just don't want to hear it. Take your conspiracy theories and go away. However, that said, with the exponential growing of people dying suddenly, dying at home, dying unexpectedly, dying after a short illness, etc., as that is proliferating, it's becoming harder for them to deny that there's something not quite right going on. And whatever the stats you're seeing, you can multiply them by a lot. They're never going to report the truth. How many different ways do they have now to deny that they had any involvement with this? Keep every major disease you can think of, just about, they can use that.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the giveaways, though, when you read an obituary are, you know, died suddenly, died unexpectedly, died after a short illness, died at home. But I noticed, I came across some yesterday that they're getting rather creative, and rather just saying that the person died, they start to kind of embellish their life. So-and-so lived a colorful life with many adventures, and but there's no mention of the person actually dying. I mean, they're speaking of them in the past tense with very flowery language and you know, a real celebration of life, but no mention that this person was only 25. Died unexpectedly, but, you know, lived a life of adventure and... You know, the other thing that we're seeing, to be fair, that there are quite a few sudden deaths in young people right now having to do with this fentanyl thing, contamination with the fentanyl drug. So I don't know, you know, what percentage of the obituaries we're seeing that are the result of that plague.
Have you ever seen the word suicide in an obituary? Do they ever, if somebody does commit suicide, do they mention that? They never do.
No, I think they find tactful ways of conveying it.
Right. Accidentally shot himself in the head twice. Things like that. We are going to see, I'm afraid, many more suicides among those who have been mortally wounded by this bioweapon.
Yeah. Yep. I think that's why Canada is, you know, taking the lead here and virtually legalized euthanasia.
They have.
I don't think we're far behind.
No, no, I concur. All right, next hour, we're going to spend some time and let everyone hear Carrie Madej's first spoken explanation about what happened, and a lot of people were glad to hear that, so we're going to play that. And there's a few questions that come up as well, so we're going to cover that next hour. Stay tuned, and Erica and I will be right back.